Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, February the 6th, 37th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, the guy out of the 1st District, Rex Bone.
Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's not what you said before the mic started. We're open. So what do you want to talk about? You got a pretty thick stack of stuff there already.
Oh, I just brought some just something to write on. You fire away and
okay.
I'll muddle along.
Good. Well, it's all on me. We'll see how much of that load I can carry when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do, our quote of the day this afternoon comes from Oscar Wilde. Quote, "No man is rich enough to buy back his past." Interesting that you chose that one.
I can't even pay for my future. That's what's got me worried.
I'm focusing present. Yeah.
Really.
Oh, so have you been assigned all the committees that you're supposed to be on?
Yeah, and I just got the list this morning, and the meetings have started popping up, and I'm starting some in 6 months. I've got some starting right now, and that part's pretty exciting.
What's the most exotic?
Get to go on Humboldt Waste Management in June after Supervisor Lovelace finishes his chairmanship there, and I'm going on HTA, which I really have. I like the idea of being on HTA. It's just that they are, with the way things are going and the way all the new technology and stuff like that, I really look forward to working with them.
I would imagine, yeah, a dynamic, both of those two.
Yeah.
So many rules are changing. So many things are going on.
And they have. And I've been, you know, in a previous life and everything else, just because of my coming out of the private sector, I've been involved with both of them in one way or another.
You rode the bus?
So I rode the bus, yeah, you know. Provided, you know, materials for the buses, you know, and to run on and things like that. So those things are kind of, I'm the alternate to the mental health board, get to be on juvenile justice delinquency, a couple of those programs.
That's right, because that's one Jimmy was really involved with for a long time.
Yeah, he was, very much so, and I got to do my Jimmy. I had breakfast with Jimmy yesterday morning, and he's doing great. Felt he was going to take a big long walk and go probably watch the game somewhere or do something, but he looked great. He's feeling a lot better, still going through the program, and he's doing well, and he's still giving me bits of information, and as I ask for more, he gives me more, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Some of the different committees that are out there, I don't think folks understand necessarily the electeds and your commitment to these various committees. How much of your time, granted that it all hasn't hit yet, but if you're anticipating, if you're projecting, if you're planning things out, not relying solely on Kathy,
but
what percentage of your work week is going to be spent on committee or committee-related projects?
Oh, I would say anywhere between 30 to 40%. I was trying to figure that the other day. And if you get on some of the state committees that people just love to get on, and I'm begging them, we've got so many problems here locally to take care of. I mean, the state issues scare the heck out of me. So, and I don't want to go to Sacramento. I went to Sacramento last week, so I'm good for the year. But some people there's certain people that love that type of thing and that power base, and more power to them. And they do a good job for us down there. And I think if they get down there and get on these big committees or statewide committees, because it's very important with us being rural. I mean, I think the figure is 16% of the state is rural.
So population.
Population-wise, 16% of the state is rural. So we don't have a huge dog in the fight. So we got to bark pretty loud. And it's very important for us to belong to those committees with rural other counties, so we can band with them to get as much force to be reckoned with. I mean, you got a, perfect case in point, L.A. County. I mean, I represent approximately, I think, 26,500, somewhere around there. A supervisor down there represents about 2.2 million people. They have over 10 million people. So, I mean, they have a staff of 20 for themselves, the way I understand it. So it's important for us to band with these things so we can get our little piece of the pie, so we can get our little bit of road improvements, have our voices heard, so we can get some of that big state dollar, federal dollar, what is available, so we can use it up here appropriately.
Having a voice somewhere.
Having a voice, yeah. And sometimes it's going to take, you know, a lot of those. I mean, Alpine County, 1,200 people in the whole county. I mean, I was talking to a couple
makes
of
campaigning pretty darn easy, though, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but I was talking to one of the supervisors. I said, if you get one family mad at you, it could swing the whole election. I mean, you know, it's really, you know, interesting point. Great people, but they have the same issues we have.
So has the supervisors, have you looked to having somebody who would kind of be the designate for the state level committee appointments? Because I would think that
we have a lobbying firm. We have a lobbying firm.
It's Don Peterson still, isn't it?
His group, yeah. And they do a great job for us. And they really do. And they bring, but
somebody to sit on those committees. Because I would think, as you're saying, it takes a little expertise to be able to bob and weave. And I would think once you start to get some contacts, it may transfer across.
Yeah, you could look at it that way, but I look at it the other way. I like it to be switched around a little bit. I mean, I will, if asked, serve on one, you know, but there are other people that would probably like to do that a little bit more. But I do think we need variety, because sometimes, just like anything, you only hear one thing, and you've got to get another set of eyes and ears to hear what's proper and what's specific to our problems up here. And somebody might have a different perception of what our problems are up here. That's why the board is diverse. So what we want to do is make sure that diversity is recognized on the state level, so we're connecting with people down there.
You like using that word now, don't you?
What's that?
Diversity.
Diversity is a big thing.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, looking at some of the various committees that you are assigned on is one element of what you do. The other part, and I think maybe with the general plan, it's kind of starting to surface a little bit. I suppose if parks were in the limelight, there'd be some discussion about that. But supervisors also make appointments for others on local committees that have impact. How many different appointments do you have, or did you make, over the last 6 weeks?
I've had human rights. I've appointed some people. I think the Human Rights Commission, the Forest Review Committee. Chuck Ciancio just went on that. We've got the Planning Commission. I was very fortunate that my first choice that I was looking for the Planning Commission, Alan Bongio, considered it, and then he told me I had to ask his wife Mary, and I talked to her about it, and it was something that was in the back of my mind when I was running, and I brought it up to people that as you look up at the making of the Planning Commission, it's a great group of people all looking at different aspects. But the one thing that I'd seen had been missing since Greg Bish passed away in that tragic accident, who was one of the better commissioners. I mean, we still have a plaque in the chambers representing the work Greg did, and Bonnie had appointed him to numerous terms. I went all the way through school with Greg and was a good friend and everything. But we haven't had a guy that actually built houses, had sawdust in his shoes and a sliver in his hands and everything else. The guy that has to take these decisions and actually apply them to a process. Jeff Smith, Resco, then Danco, and then now he's out as a consultant now. I mean, he did projects, but I was talking to a guy that just went out and did it. And I think Alan's built about 40 homes in 26 years, so he's nowhere near a big developer. He's just a good family man, got a great family, two great boys, And he serves on the Community Services District Board. I think he's been elected there a couple times, so he's got great respect of the people. And I was fortunate that he was willing to. I mean, they serve for no money. And I mean, I was sat at the last Planning Commission meeting. It started at 6, and we left there at 1:12:55 or something. So they can go a little bit long. And I mean, they're the ones who forward everything to us, and then if it's appealed, it'll come back to us. But there's a lot of the final words in these things, and I just needed somebody that had done it. And I just figured, you know, and I appreciated Denver's time, and Denver brings a great perspective too. But I just had a vision of a different perspective.
Yeah, same with forestry. You mentioned Chuck.
Chuck is a very vocal person, and Chuck has a lot to say about a lot of things. But one of the things he is he's a very, very adequate, more than adequate forester. He does very well. I mean, he was one of the managing foresters when LP was in their heyday around here. And so he teaches a class up at Humboldt State in beginning forestry. I mean, he's got the knowledge, and I thought he would bring a perspective. He calls it on the ground knowledge, I think he calls it, and he's got a lot of it, I think.
So taking that a couple more steps with some of the various committees, are all of them possible to have somebody who has done the deed, so to speak?
Oh, I think in the long run, I mean, people that have, you know, I don't, you know, the nice thing about, you know, when you get to the statewide level and the federal level, and it's you'll see it's people. I mean, it's like on the Horse Racing Commission, I think Bo Derek's on there, and you go, what? And, you know, and you go, why? But that's a very prestigious position because of, you know, the fairs, you know, Santa Maria and all that stuff down south, but the racetracks down south, but they're governor's appointments. And so a lot of the time it's people that have been favorably to their political mindset. In a county election, it's not that much. It's just somebody that can do the job the best for the mass of the people.
But as you were alluding to, you want to have somebody who at least, you know, has mud in their shoes.
Depending on things, I want people that have, you know, some mindset of the product that they're having to deal with, and I mean that has varying opinions are great, but they also got to have an understanding of what is there, and hopefully it's not so entrenched that they can't. Somebody, you want to make sure it's not so entrenched that they can't listen to the other people that are there, and I'm, you know, that's an important factor too.
Are there still committees that you're waiting to make some additional appointments for?
We got a report the other day, and I think everything is filled except for a few little minor ones, and I think we just reported on it last week, and we're as we go. You know, there's the aviation committee, and they oversee a lot of the stuff at the different airports and things like that, and. That was full. I think one of the guys is coming off of there. I might have another appointment for there. I'm not sure. But it's you want to have people that are in place for all the different things that make a lot of sense to who's there and can hopefully maybe save the county some money in the long run.
Okay, so let's use your aviation. A flyer or a pilot?
Well, you have both. I mean, a lot of what we do is private pilots, you know, private guys that have their planes. Because we have Ronerville, we have Shelter, you know, we have a lot of air. It was 7, I think, airports that we have to deal with. And so you want to have those guys tended because a lot of the problems they have, and one of the things we have problems is adequate storage for the planes. Big issue up here. Not as big an issue when you get inland and things like that, but we have a lot of corrosives, you know, we have a lot of sea salts in our air, and it's corrosive. So these guys want a good hangar, doesn't leak. Well, just like everything else in the county structure, some of those have gone by the wayside, and we're having to deal with that now. And so a combination of both, usually somebody that's got an understanding of both.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
This is Fred Van Vleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone, Humboldt County First District Supervisor. Rex, the situation with Stu Titus at the fairground, I know it's really not a county issue, but certainly the county does have some influence on who the general managers are, either at that location or with Redwood Acres. I mean, yeah. They're both state-owned. you served on the board of one. You're now serving on a different board that's kind of overseeing a little bit of both.
Yeah.
How do you select a general manager of a fairground?
Well, when I was on Redwood Acres Fair Board for 12 years, there's a little bit of a difference. It's a state entity, and it is the facility is owned by the state, and the board is appointed by the state. Whereas in 1924,
oh, it's an entirely state appointed board.
It's a state appointed board. I was appointed by 3 different governors when I served.
Recommendations from the locals to the state?
Yeah. Oh, just like any other governor said, just like I was talking with the fair and things like that. And so, and Humboldt County was incorporated. The Articles of Incorporation in 1924, and it was a nonprofit, private corporation for the public good. So it's enacted into the Brown Acts and all those. What it is for the public good. The county owns the property. The Fairground Association, the Fair Board Association, they pick a CEO, staff, and everything else. They maintain the fairgrounds. They pay for the repairs and everything else in lieu of keeping that up for the public good, which is mean putting on a fair, you know, providing horse arena, things like that. So it's a facility for the public good managed by a nonprofit, private, subject to public corporation, not public, private public corporation, I guess.
So if they wanted to put, let's say, Bilotti Hall,
yes,
and they decide they want to raise it, start all over, but come back with a very state-of-the-art meeting facility with this and that, and ding, 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 throw some apartments upstairs, so if you're bringing people in, they've got some...
Yeah.
There would be no constraints other than the normal, you know, permitting and financial and all that kind of stuff.
And I think I've got the contract on my desk because of obviously I got quite a few phone calls. It has been a hot button issue. It is in the first district, and it says Humboldt County Fair. So people tend to think that the fair, you know, the county has a lot of input into it. We get their minutes. We're, you know, supposed to get their minutes every month. We get their budget and sign off on their budget, just to make sure that, you know, that
because you're on the
own the facility, and that was part of the Articles of Incorporation. And I mean, and then we every 10 years we rewrite the lease, and it's pretty much the same every 10 years. From what I can see, I've got a pretty good stack of paperwork and stuff like that. As for what's, I know tonight they're having a meeting tonight on how to select an interim manager, from what I heard. Because I went to the meeting the other night. I've never been to a fair board meeting with that many people there, even in all my years at Redwood Acres and all the things there. But it was a very well-attended meeting, and people spoke passionately. You know, they gave their part of it very passionately of what they thought the board should do and things like that. So
the county owns the property.
Yes.
The fair board determines the day-to-day activities
day-to-day,
and the staffing.
They hire the manager, and along those lines, it's just a separate board completely. Yes.
So the county then just kind of is almost a third person observer.
Almost. I mean, very very little input. I know in the past I've seen in the past where we've loaned them money when they had financial problems. They had financial problems. The county actually had money, and we had bailed them out a couple times. Yeah, it's been a while, but I know they bailed them out a couple times when they were having some financial issues and things like that. And I'm not sure if it was – I know it happened. I don't know if it was related to repairing buildings or just for general. But I know they have very good reserves right now. Record reserves is what they said at the meeting, at the public meeting the other night. So – it was a great fair this year. There's an old saying, though, is how many people come to your fair are directly related to how many people that come to your funeral. It all depends on the weather. And they had pretty good weather for this fair. But, I mean, they actually put on a very good fair this year, had a good racing, and I think they had record attendance from what I heard. So
as you're looking at this as a casual observer, are there lessons that you can see from that that can be applied to other relationships that the county has with other entities?
Yeah, I being in office such a short time, I didn't have all the information I did on the fair, and I'm still limited. I actually pulled out some of the stuff out of the old archives on Friday and Saturday from the board meetings of 1924 for the whole year.
Do you recognize the names?
Trying to find out a couple names. I did. It was funny. There, you know. I was looking at election results, and you could see a Russ name, you could see a Pryor, you could see and from the Bloxburg and things like. And it was fun seeing some of that back then. It's 90 years. But I was trying to find out when it was incorporated, and I think it was 1924, and I could not find it. I haven't gone through it all. It's a pretty good stack of records.
Now, when the facility is used for the Red Cross or some of the emergency stuff, when we get into the floods and the earthquakes and whatnot. Yeah. Is that the county pulling the trigger on that? Is that the county fair board getting
OES? OES will trigger because it is a sanctioned emergency site. And Stuart was involved. Stuart, at the time being there, he was involved with that because they used to, during flooding, my wife's family had a dairy down there. During flooding and stuff, if that was one of the areas you would take, the people in that area would take, it was considered a high area, and that's where they would take their cattle. Feed them. They could use the milk barn and everything else because a lot of times all the dairies were surrounded with water and stuff like
that. That'd be unsettling as all get out, wouldn't it? Oh, being at the fairgrounds, you're inside of a building.
Yeah,
your critters are there.
Yeah,
you know there's water. You can hear the water. Yeah. And it's just being kind of isolated.
Well, I mean, and you go back and look, and 64 was probably the last major, and that's you think about what all those guys. When you look at those old pictures, Tony Leonardo, bless my heart, sitting on the roof of his house. I think it was in Life magazine or something. I'm not sure, but that picture. Yeah. That was a big deal. And I mean, that's
those are sober moments.
It's very sober. I mean, you can't dig the Salt River out enough to get fixed up like that. I mean, it always amazes me when I get down by Miranda and I see that sign, 64 flood, high water mark, and I'm just sitting there, and it just amazes me that much water can
It's tough. It's tough to imagine
that was before global warming, sea rise, or anything, and we were having that problem. I mean, it's just, I know it's a bigger issue, and we're having more 50-year floods every couple of years. So.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m., Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, some of the different challenges, you mentioned Salt River. Yeah, you have any update on that? Are they doing any work this time of the year?
Yeah, they're cutting brush, they're grinding stuff and moving out. They've been very fortunate on the weather. I mean, the RCD, those guys do some amazing stuff. We're trying to find, we're actually just going in now and writing some letters to finish up the rest of the financing on the second phase. And then, obviously, a few more years down the line, the third phase, so we go all the way up Williams Creek and do it and get it done right. So
it has a chance to work.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on Ambrosini Lane and Frog Pond, Frog Alley the other day, and I've got water up to the bottom of my floorboards. And I mean, there's people there I talked to one guy, and they moved his water box. His water box, they raised it 18 inches 6 years ago, and now they're going to raise it another 12 inches. That's just from sediment on a house on a street.
Just filling in.
I mean, and a house, and there's a lot of water getting in the houses, inaccessible. To the houses, and we need to fix that. We need to make that right for those people. And people, they live in a valley. We know that, but there's been so much sediment, so much buildup, so much people doing things they think are going to fix the drainage themselves, and creating a bigger problem. And then the RCD and these guys are coming in, addressing all that and fixing it as they go along, and being very very aware of the people's needs as they do it.
Is there any thought to getting the tractors out in the riverbed?
Well, we've
during
talked about
summer
that. That's what they used to do, but they can't
do it.
Can't do it because you got frogs. There's so many restrictions. I mean, half of the money is probably going to go to permitting and design, but they've picked a contractor now since we last met. They have a contractor. He's out of Gridley, and I want to say American Dragline. I might be wrong, but he's done some amazing work up at the landfill. He's the one that's closed up the landfill up on Mitchell Heights, and he's Cummins Road. Mitchell Heights, Cummins Road. And what they've done is they did a time-lapse photography of their work up there, and it was absolutely stunning, the work they did, and they did a great job. So we look forward to them, you know, doing this. There's not going to be a lot of trucking work in the first phase. It's mainly they're going to use a lot of the dirt that they pull out for banking and
kind
stuff
build
like that.
Levies.
Second phase, we're hoping to see a lot more local guys get to work on and stuff like that. And there's going to be work. We've got a local guy out there doing the brush trimming now, and we've also and the CCCs, and we're also doing the grinding with a local guy. So these are all good things. We're starting to make some headway. This good weather right now is great, and hopefully this doesn't mean it rains till the middle of June, since we're not raining in January and February, and we can start that thing full bore in May.
So that's when the hope for.
That's when the contract is supposed to be implemented, and weather permitting, that's when they're supposed to go.
Will that change the traffic at all, getting out to Ferndale or from Ferndale getting to Fernbridge?
No, not the first phase. It's going to be they're going to be out in the fields on the lower end.
But we'll be able to see the work being done.
If you get
or
down to where you know
done.
It's at, yeah, you're going to be able to start seeing it. But yeah. it's kind of be first phase is going to kind of be. They start at one end and go, so it's really not
have the trees over the edge.
It's
yeah.
going to be until the second phase kicks in is when we start seeing the results start coming in. But I mean the commitment the RCD and stuff and their staff is making to this and making sure the continuing funding is going is phenomenal.
Well, it'll be fun to see the cows paying attention to something.
They get to watch something. Yeah. Yes, you bet.
A little fan club developed there. Yeah. Well, hopefully the rest of the week will go smoothly for you.
The rest of the week will go smoothly.
Yeah. All righty, guy. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.